Chapter 14. Jimmy did not return home for a number of days after the fight with Pete in the saloon. When he did, he approached with extreme caution. He found his mother raving. Maggie had not returned home. The parent continually wondered how her daughter could come to such a pass. As he had never considered Maggie as a pearl dropped unstained into Rum Alley from heaven, but she could not conceive how it was possible for her daughter to fall so low as to bring disgrace upon her family. She was terrific in denunciation of the girl's wickedness. The fact that the neighbors talked of it maddened her. When women came in, and in the course of their conversation casually asked, "Where's Maggie these days?" the mother shook her fuzzy head at them, and appalled them with curses. Cunning hints inviting confidence she rebuffed with violence. And with all Deb bringing up as he had, how could she, moaningly she asked of her son. "It all Deb talking with her, I didn't Deb things I told her to remember? When a girl is bringed up the way I bringed up Maggie, how can she go to the devil?" Jimmy was transfixed by these questions. He could not conceive how under the circumstances his mother's daughter and his sister could have been so wicked. His mother took a drink from a scudgy bottle that sat on the table. She continued her lament. "As he had a bad heart, that girl did, Jimmy. She was wicked to the heart and we never knowed it." Jimmy nodded, admitting the fact. "We lived in the same house with her, and I brought her up, and we never knowed how bad she was." Jimmy nodded again. "With a home like this and a mother like me, she went to the bad," cried the mother, raising her eyes. One day, Jimmy came home, sat down in a chair, and began to wriggle about with a new and strange nervousness. At last he spoke shamefacedly. "Well, look a here, this thing queers us. See? We're queered. And maybe it'd be better if I think I can look her up, and maybe it'd be better if I fetched her home and..." The mother started from her chair, and broke forth into a storm of passionate anger. "What? Let her come, and sleep under the same roof with her mother agin. Oh, yes, I will, won't I? Sure? Shame on yes, Jimmy Johnson, for saying such a thing to your own mother, to your own mother. Little did I think when yes was a babby playing about me feet that he'd grow up to say such a thing to your own mother. I never thought..." Sobs choked her, and interrupted her reproaches. "Dear, ain't nothing to raise such hell about," said Jimmy. "I only says it'd be better if we keep this thing dark, see? It queers us. See?" His mother laughed a laugh that seemed to ring through the city, and be echoed, and re-echoed by countless other laughs. "Oh, yes, I will, won't I? Sure. Well, ye must take me for a damn fool," said Jimmy, indignant at his mother for mocking him. "Didn't say we'd make her into a little tin angel, nor nothing, but the way it is now she can queer us. Don't she see? Aye, she'll get tired of the life after a while and then she'll wanna be a coming home, won't she, the beast? I'll let her and then, won't I?" "Well, I didn't mean none of this prodigal business anyway," explained Jimmy. "It wasn't no prodigal daughter, ye damn fool," said the mother. "He was prodigal son, anyhow." "I know that," said Jimmy. For a time they sat in silence. The mother's eyes gloated on the scene her imagination could call before her. Her lips were set in a vindictive smile. "Aye, she'll cry, won't she, and carry on, and tell how Pete, or some other feller, beats her and she'll say she's sorry, and all that, and she ain't happy, she ain't, and she wants to come home agin, she does." With grim humor, the mother imitated the possible wailing notes of the daughter's voice. "Then I'll take her in, won't I, the beast? She can cry her two eyes out on the stones of the street before I'll dirty the place with her. She abused and ill-treated her own mother what loved her, and she'll never get another chance this side of hell." Jimmy thought he had a great idea of women's frailty, but he could not understand why any of his kin should be victims. "Damn her," he fervidly said. Again he wondered vaguely if some of the women of his acquaintance had brothers. Nevertheless, His mind did not for an instant confuse himself with those brothers nor his sister with theirs. After the mother had, with great difficulty, suppressed the neighbors, she went among them, and proclaimed her grief. "May God forgive that girl," was her continual cry. To attentive ears she recited the whole length and breadth of her woes. "I bringed her up the way a daughter ought to be bringed up, and this is how she served me. She went to the devil the first chance she got. May God forgive her." When arrested for drunkenness, she used the story of her daughter's downfall with telling effect upon the police justices. Finally, one of them said to her, peering down over his spectacles, "Mary, the records of this and other courts show that you are the mother of 42 daughters who have been ruined. The case is unparalleled in the annals of this court, and this court thinks the mother went through life shedding large tears of sorrow. Her red face was a picture of agony." Of course, Jimmy publicly damned his sister that he might appear on a higher social plane. But, arguing with himself, stumbling about in ways that he knew not, he, once, almost came to a conclusion that his sister would have been more firmly good had she better known why. However, he felt that he could not hold such a view. He threw it hastily aside. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.